Hello, I'm Dick Forbes.
And I'm Cindy Smith. And we welcome you to today's Families. It's been a long time.
It has been.
Yeah. If you've seen our earlier shows, we might look a little different.
We did. We're older. More gray, less hair.
Yeah, and less weight. Mm-hmm. Our Dick has really been a disciplined, I want to say young man, and just really dropped the pounds. So he's been...
We'll do a show about that. One day, so.
We'll actually do a show about that. Uh-huh. Yeah. It is good to be in your home, and it is good to be back talking to Dick and just being a part of encouraging our families, being a part of our community, the beautiful Cartersville. We're just very grateful for the opportunity to be in your home. So, Dick, I don't want to bypass something. You've been here how long?
I started here in 91.
So mm-hmm. 32 years mm-hmm. in a community, giving through counseling, teaching, holding groups, and just being an important part of our community. And so we want to thank you for that.
That's thank you. That's
not everybody
nice.
Can be in a community as a counselor for 32 years. So it's pretty awesome.
Shows how sick I am. So
well, hallelujah. So there we go. Dick, I am really excited about talking today about something that's, you know, Dick, for lack of a better word, I think sometimes gaslighting is a little bit of a buzzer mm-hmm. word, don't you? Because we hear it a lot, even from young people.
Right.
He was just gaslighting me, or she was just... So what does that mean? What is gaslighting?
Well, gaslighting is really, it's psychological abuse. Mm-hmm. It's when an individual or even a group of people causes someone to question their own sanity. You know, did I say that? Did I not say that? Did that really happen? Did it not really happen? So they're constantly questioning and making them feel kind of crazy. And in a relationship, it is such an imbalance of power because it's this, you know, it's the gaslighter constantly, you know, making the recipient feel like, you know, am I nuts? You know, am I losing it? And that's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty prevalent in families, mm-hmm. friendships, work relationships.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. If it's a relationship, there's a possibility. And so this is what we want you to understand. And maybe you can't relate to it, but maybe you know someone who can. So I think this is going to be a very helpful helpful conversation on gaslighting. So where did the term gaslighting come from?
Well, it's one of my favorite movies. There was a play in 1938, and then they made it into a movie in 1944 with Ingrid Bergman and Robert Boyer. And the movie is based on, they get married and he's just the whole package. He's charming and good looking and everything. And so they move into her aunt's house or mother's house. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it. But he's always hiding this really, really expensive jewelry from her. And she's always afraid that she's lost it. And then it reappears. He goes, it's right there. And there were noises in the attic. And he would, you know, you're hearing things. You know, there's no noise in the attics. And then they had these old gas sconces on the wall for lighting. And he would slowly just kind of turn those down. And she goes, well, who keeps turning these down? And nobody's turning them down. So that's where the term gaslighting came from, because what he was doing was trying to drive her crazy. And by the end of the movie, he did. But then it has a good ending. I won't tell you. But it's a great psychological. It's on Turner Classics fairly often. But it's called gaslighting, and that's really where the term came from. So it's been around for a little while.
Yeah, I was going to say, what year, 1940?
The movie was 1944. The play, I believe, was 1938.
So way back then.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's really become more popularized in the past 15, 20 years, though. But it's always been
around. We do hear the word more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So give us some examples. And the movie had some great examples.
It does. Some examples of one what they call countering. And this is where they're questioning the recipient's memory. You just got a bad memory. Is that really what happened? Mm. Are you sure that's the way you remember it? So that countering brings into question of their memory. Did I really hear that? Did I really see that? Did it really take place? then you have what they call withholding, and that is where the gaslighter is being confronted about their behavior. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't remember it that way. I just don't see it that way. In fact, I'm just clueless what you're talking about at this moment in time. Nothing like that even happened. I don't have any remembering of that. So they're withholding the truth from the person. And then many times they will trivialize the person. You are so sensitive. You know, I was just kidding. You know, you can't even take a joke. You know, you're wearing your emotions on your sleeve. So just really kind of put down and trivializing that the person was hurt by the behavior of the gaslighter. So they'll do things of just make them feel like a very, very trivial in the situation. So number of things that they do. And then finally, gaslighters, they just plain out deny it. Never did it. Not going to take responsibility. Or they're going to blame somebody else. You know, it's not my fault. So-and-so did this, they did that. And so the denial ticks into place of just anything taking place. So no responsibility for their behavior whatsoever. So, you know, and I'm sure people listening can go, you know, that's happened to me or that's happened to me. We might have somebody listening going, I do that, you know. So sometimes we have to have a little bit of self-awareness that we may be doing some gaslighting and we're not even aware of ourselves. But typically the gaslighter is clueless. It's just, you know, it's premeditated, it's planned, it's in their behavior, and it's kind of down deep in there.
There's a lot to chew on in this conversation, for sure. Well, how does it occur necessarily?
Well, it's a good question. You know, basically what it occurs, let's say in an intimate relationship between two people, I mean, it can occur at a global level. And in that, the gaslighter gains the trust of the individual. So there's no abuse on the front end. And so they begin to gain the trust in the relationship. In fact, it's kind of going great. It's good. There's a lot of love bombing that may take place. But as time goes on, the gaslighter brings into question all these things that we just talked about. And so really, it just doesn't start from the get-go. It's very subtle over time. And then once that trust is established, I really didn't say that. I was just kidding you, you know. I mean, golly, can't tell you a joke. And all those things that we just talked about begin to take place within the relationship. So it's very subtle on the front end. Unless, you know, you got a little bit of wisdom, you know, up here, and you begin to recognize a few things very quickly. So it can come out quickly, but if you're not aware about gaslighting and how they operate, then it's going to grab you, and the next thing you know, you find yourself questioning yourself.
Thus, it's good to not just jump into a relationship without giving it some time.
Absolutely, and we've all done it.
Yes, you know, we have.
You know, there's some good research out there that shows that, you know, before people get married, they should at least take about 24 months to get to that know that person, because they can't hide it for that long, typically. And usually character issues and character flaws start to come out in that time period. I love what Dr. Dobson said. You know, he said, dating is not the time to get to know somebody. He says, the time of hiding. And he's right. You know, we hide all the bad stuff. We want to put our best foot forward. But that's where that time and taking it slow is very, very valuable. Now, there are some people who meet and they just know, and they're married 6 months and they're married for 60 years. You know, those are the exceptions. You know, those aren't the rule. But usually, you know, give yourself time so that you don't fall into that trap. Of that.
Yeah. Well, if you know that you're in a gaslighting relationship, and it could be, like we've mentioned earlier, it could be work, it could be friendship, but how do you respond to gaslighting?
Well, I think there's several things. One, you got to create an environment of safety, you know, because sometimes the gaslighting can be very, 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 very destructive. But one, gather evidence. Don't evaluate, be descriptive. And what I mean by that, you know, evaluations are kind of ambiguous, where descriptive is the facts kind of thing. Have somebody in your life that you know that you can trust, that you can talk to, that you can confide in that kind of reassures you, no, you're not crazy. You know, I've seen them do the same thing kind of thing. Take pictures, videos of the behavior. When you confront the gaslighter with the videos, they'll still, well, that's not me. You know, it's just amazing how they just will go down that path of just denial over and over. And then take recordings. I mean, you know, keep that phone in your pocket with a recorder on sometimes. I mean, if you're in that type of relationship and you want to realize I'm not going crazy, then you know, have some hard facts for yourself that begin to take place. Because if you don't, you know, they're just going to fall back into those denial, withholding, questioning your memory, trivializing you, the whole process. That's their game with you when you confront them with the facts many times. And again, this can happen, as you said, Cindy, it can happen at a corporate level even, where leaders in the corporation are gaslighting the employees. It can happen at a political level. You know, and we see that every day almost, you know, where they gaslight us. They talk about how great the things that they've done when they haven't been great, or they minimize the mistakes that they've been made. You know, it's not that bad. It's not that big a deal. And they, you know, put the spin on it and everything. So gaslighting happens on the news every night at 6 o'clock. If you're watching some of that stuff, it can happen in a parenting setting. You know, parents can gaslight their kids.
That's really hard.
It is hard, and it's horrible. It's abuse at that level that's there. You know, when a parent gaslights the kid and doesn't take responsibility for their actions sometimes, if they make a mistake and don't own up to it, what does it teach the kid? Well, gaslight everybody. And then unfortunately, Cindy, I think too, it's in our churches. It's from the pulpit sometimes where, you know, ministers who gaslight the congregation that's out there. I mean, narcissism has entered our churches today, and so it takes place at not just pulpits, but Sunday school and church members. And you know, we'll talk a little bit about more of that at the end here about, you know, what does God say about it. But it's there. It's in our culture. And it's much more prevalent today than it was 50 years ago.
And we want to be aware of gaslighting, not to be afraid, but to be educated, mm-hmm. not to be ignorant, because, you know, really life is all about relationships. And I think gaslighting is used by the enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy to destroy. So I think it's really important to educate ourselves and to not be afraid, but to be aware mm-hmm. of this particular type of abuse, because it is abuse.
It is. And I want Christians especially to be educated in this, not to be gullible, not to be, you know, wise, you know, as Jesus tells us to be, mm-hmm. and to gain wisdom. If you read the book of Proverbs, and you know, what is it about? It's the book of wisdom. And it even addresses some of this with people that behave this way. So become a wise person, you know, become a smarter person in dealing with the culture that we're in today, that it's not a culture of integrity, but it's a culture of deception that's going on right now. Now, there's pockets of its integrity. I don't want to blanket the whole statement, but and we know people of integrity, but become smarter in the culture that we're living in today.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, Dick, because we can be blindsided mm-hmm. and years can be wasted of our lives with something like this if we don't understand it or don't know about it or don't fight it, mm-hmm. you know. So what are some signs for some experiencing gaslighting? What can you tell our folks in their watching, Dick?
Well, and this is more internal because a lot of it takes place here, and that is, you know, they're uncertain of what they saw. Did I really see that, you know? Mm-hmm. Because they've been beat up so much over the time, and, you know, so their perception may be distorted in their mind when they know in reality what they saw and what they heard. And so that brings into question, so if the person's beginning to doubt their perception. Now, we all have memories about things that we didn't get right. I get that. But this is constantly beginning to take place in the individual. And so they begin to question themselves, am I remembering correctly, is what begins to happen. Is that what really happened? I remember being in a relationship years and years ago and knowing I heard something and just getting such pushback of, oh, I didn't say that. That never happened. And there were two other people that heard the same thing that I did, you know. So it takes place. You know, we get little kids that, you know, they get caught doing something. I didn't do it. You know, I didn't do it. You know, we know we caught, saw them doing it. So we got to start young to teach them about that gaslighting is not acceptable, even you know, when they start doing this at a young age. We've got to correct that path. Bottom line, thinking, am I crazy? You know, am I the nutty one here?
Well, that's the goal, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's the goal to try to get the person that you're gaslighting to think they're crazy.
Yep. Well, and it's in that down position. It's a power play. It's an imbalance of power in the relationship. I want you under my thumb. I want you down here so that I can control everything. And that's right. So once I convinced you that you're crazy, then, you know,
I can control you.
Exactly. That's mm-hmm. there. I think an individual, too, they have tremendous feelings of incompetence and worthlessness. Because they just have been beaten down. And when we went, if we start back to the first part of the show, what we kind of defined what gaslighting is, it is psychological abuse is what it is. And that psychological abuse, I mean, there's no bruises or broken bones or black eyes or anything, but there's a lot of broken bones and bruises inside here with
totally.
The individual.
Yeah.
And so they feel that incompetence. They feel the worthlessness. And I also find that people that have experienced a lot of gaslighting in their life, they apologize all the time. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, and 99% of the time, nothing they need to be sorry about. But they just feel like that they're so incompetent, that they're so crazy, that they're so beaten down, that they have to apologize for everything that took place. And, you know, helping the individual get to that place where, you know, they're coming out of this. And it takes some pretty intensive counseling to help somebody turn this ship around. And much of it is helping them have a biblical view. What does God say about the individual that's been gaslighted? Well, you're not crazy. You know, you're my child. You're righteous. You're holy. You know, you're a saint, you're my friend, you're my child, you're my brother, you're my sister. And helping them have a different view of themselves in that process because they truly have bought, you know, the message that they're just nuts. It's there, so.
Yeah, you mentioned there's abuse that you can see, you know. Obviously, if there's a broken arm that's been done by someone that's, you know, physical, emotional even. And this is probably a combination of emotional and psychological. Can you help me decipher that? What is...
Well, you know, our emotions are our feelings. You know, psychological is what we think about those feelings, how we, you know, use those feelings in our life many times. So if I have... psychological abuse, then it's going to distort the emotions that I have in my life. If I have emotional abuse, it's going to distort being healthy psychologically. And so they interact with each other, but they play a big part in how one responds to the other. So if I'm fairly healthy emotional person I have a good grasp on my, you know, anger, it has its place. You know, I need to grieve when I need to grieve. I need to be, you know, I need to be happy for other people. And my emotions are relatively healthy, but then it's going to bounce into my psychological. My psychological more is, you know, how am I thinking? Am I blowing this out of proportion? Am I making a mountain out of a molehill? Am I making a 3 into a 10 kind of thing? So, excuse me, that's more psychological in nature, is the process of how I view the world around me and think about the world around me. For example, you know, it's not our circumstances that upset me. God, you know, being in traffic puts me in the worst mood. You know, being in traffic, I'm just angry when I get home. So I've got a psychological problem there that's affecting my emotions. Can traffic really put me in a bad mood? No. Mm-hmm. It's what I tell myself about traffic. Traffic is the worst. Traffic's horrible. Everybody's an idiot. And I'm the only self-righteous one on the road, so get out of my way.
So it's what you tell yourself.
It's what I'm telling myself and how I think, and that's the psychological that affects the emotional. Mm-hmm. So I hope that understands. And so when a person's in the gaslighting of this, they've been abused psychologically. Did that really happen? You sure that happened? I don't remember that happening. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're beating up on them psychologically, which in turn, their emotions, I feel worthless. You know, I'm a horrible person. I need to apologize for that. And on it goes.
Which keeps a person from meeting their purpose, mm-hmm. from living a free life, a life to glorify the Lord. Because it's in bondage.
Yep, very much so. So we live in a pretty messed up world, mm-hmm. you know. And you know, the goal is to have a good biblical view of the world that helps me psychologically, that helps me emotionally. If I filter the world through, you know, what God says, through His Scripture that's there. You know, and He even addresses this. I mean, there's a few verses that I kind of jotted down here. One was 2 Timothy 3:1-9. I won't read the whole thing, but it's talking about in the end times. It's talking in the last days. It says people will be lovers of themselves, lover of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lover of God. Describes a gaslighter, you know, quite a bit in there. Because what are they doing to other people that's there? And you know, it also goes on to say, he says, you know, they are the kind that worm their way into homes and gain control. And so it's what they do. And so that's what they want to do, is they want to control everything. They can't acknowledge the truth that's there. Another verse is Romans 16:17, where he calls them smooth talkers and flattery. They deceive the minds of naive people. And so when Paul was writing to the Romans, you know, he was complimenting their obedience, but be careful of these people that are smooth talkers and flattery, and that truly deceive the mind of those people that are naive in nature. But then he goes on to talk about, he says, but I want you to be wise. You know, I want you to be good. I want you to be innocent about evil. And how do we do that? Well, again, as I said earlier, we filter the world through what God says. And then one more, I think, that's prevalent to what we're talking about today, and that's Ephesians 4:14. And he says, thereby every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming work. Again, what does this describe? This was written 2,000 years ago, and yet it's addressing today's cultural issues and psychological issues, and what he's writing to believers, and I'm, you know, I'm assuming we're talking to a lot of believers. And if you're not a believer, you know, maybe this is the time that you do, you know, change course and invite Christ into your life. But he's asking us to be smart, you know, to be wise, to be aware of what's going on around us, and not just take, I think, what's the old joke? You know, you can't put anything on the internet that's not true, Abe Lincoln. You know, well, how much is there that's not true? And how much do we buy into it? And everything that we read, we're gullible about those things. So be smart when it comes to this in your relationships.
I think it's really important to go back and just kind of give these scriptures the home.
Sure.
So that was 2 Timothy 3:1-9, Romans 16:17, and Ephesians 4:14. Excellent things to sift through when you're right. thinking about abuse, psychological abuse from people that you trust.
Right.
This has been so good, Dick. Did you have anything else you want to say before I kind of wrap up a little bit?
Just real quickly, there is an antidote
Gotcha.
You know, and what is that antidote? Mm. Well, the antidote is one of recognizing how weak I really am at times and how vulnerable I really am at times. Either I'm very vulnerable or I got the thickest walls in the world around me. But God doesn't want us to live in these extremes. You know, He wants us to live here. And that is, there's times to be vulnerable and there's times to have boundaries in our life. And the antidote is, you know, understanding, one, about gratitude, about gratefulness and gratitude towards God, of creating that atmosphere in my life, because it helps me get my focus off, you know, what the gaslighter is doing. I do have to get my focus off the gaslighter because I cannot control it. I didn't cause it, I can't cure it, and I can't control it. And so I've got to make sure I'm focused on those things that I can control. And I think three is kind of what we've already addressed with the scriptures, and that is I've got to change the way that I think. And how do I do that? You know, I dive in and understand what God's Word is telling me. Scriptures tell me, renew my mind every single day. And what do I renew my mind with? With truth. What is truth? Truth is what God has said about me. Truth is what Christ has done for me. Truth is what Scripture says of who we are in Him.
Absolutely. And if you're being isolated and told you can't be going places or or have relationships with people that you care about, think about what this might be. Mm-hmm. There might be a gaslight error in your life. Would you say that's true?
Very much.
And you know, isolation is big.
No, you are spot on that.
Yeah.
That sometimes they isolate you, not just from, you know, the outside world, but from family, from friends, because they're afraid of being exposed, because they want to be the only one that has the truth. I heard it put one way one time. It's almost a cult mentality. I'm the only one that has the truth. And cult leaders, what do? To their cult members? They isolate them. You know, I'm the only one that has the truth. I don't want you talking to family. I don't want you talking to friends. Because again, they don't want to be exposed.
If you're isolated today, we would encourage you to find community, to find a church that you feel comfortable and loved, because community can help you see things that you cannot see while you're alone, mm-hmm. would you say? Dick, this has been so good. Thanks for reaching out again and wanting to do things to help our community and educate and walk in, and helping others walk in wisdom. I can't think of a better way to end that, is that we pray that you would walk in wisdom to filter life through the scriptures of Jesus Christ. And again, we just thank you for joining us, and we look forward to our next time when we talk about today's family.
Thank you again. God bless. Mm-hmm.